Glory to God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, so good to see you all here today. Glory to God. Me and Josh are glad anyways. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. The rest of you, they don't care about each other, but me and Josh really love you, and we're here for you. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. I'm just kidding. Glory to God. Well, praise God for you. Praise God for all that God has for us. Amen. God has good things for us. I know that you know that. I just keep saying it to keep reminding you. Amen. Glory to God. I have to remember that there's different offices in here, and my wife said to me as I got down from announcements, she says, "And you don't want me to do announcements? Why?" And I said, "I never told you to stop doing announcements." She's like, "Yes, you did." Well, I don't remember that. So praise the Lord. So expect next week my wife will open the service. Glory to God, because she actually knows what announcements we have. Amen. My wife actually knows what's going on. If you haven't noticed any, they just let me out of the cage once a week. Twice a week, and we go at it. Praise the Lord. But that's okay. She keeps me fed and keeps me clean. So praise the Lord. We hallelujah. Thank God for good wives. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, praise God. Hallelujah. I hope you're excited for church today. I sure am. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. Today's message is called "What You Purpose." Amen. We're going to be talking about purposing for the things of God. We're going to be talking about purposing for the plan of God. Amen. I don't expect that we'll get off the plan of God probably really soon. In fact, I kind of expect that we'll be in that mode till Jesus comes back. Amen. And so even if we are, that's the direction we're going to be going in. I know that God wants to do great and wonderful things in these churches, but not just these churches, but the people in the churches. You know, God doesn't just look at us as a whole congregation, which is wonderful that he does look at us as a unit, but he also looks at us individually. He looks at our lives individually, and he sees things in our lives individually, you know. And even sometimes, you know, this happened to me in last night's service, that even sometimes as I'm ministering or as I'm getting ready to minister or just meditating on the word or whatever, the Lord will show me things or start showing me things about people. And, you know, it just blesses me to see that, because the one thing that I've realized is that if you could see you the way that God sees you, you'd think a lot differently about you than you do. Amen. Even if you think really highly of yourself, you'd think a lot better of yourself if you saw you the way God saw you. Amen. And that's pretty awesome. And, you know, I have to remind myself of that sometimes too, because, you know, it's easy to separate ourselves when we're dealing with ourselves. Amen. Don't we all deal with ourselves? You know, you deal with you in the private moments. The best relationship you probably have with anybody is a relationship with yourself. Amen. Isn't that just the truth? You know you better. Actually, I can say that might not be the truth in my case. My wife knows me better than I know me. Amen. And the thing about that I know is because when we go to restaurants, I always turn to her and say, "Do I like this?" And she always tells me whether I do it. And every once in a while, I'll be defiant and I'll say, "You know, I'm just going to get it because I want it." She's like, "You don't like it." I say, "I'm going to get it anyways because I think I want it." Amen. And surely, and then I get it. And every single time, I don't like it. Amen. Praise the Lord. So glory to God. But we all have gifts differing. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. But yeah, praise God, hallelujah. But God loves us. He has so much for us. God wants greater and better things for us. Amen. And you know that's the thing about the ministering of the word, at least this way. You know, there's always things, you know, as I've been studying even this week, I've been studying some things out that aren't necessarily things that I would preach on, but they are truths from the word. But it's just different historical things and stuff like that, you know, things that you might not spend a lot of time because they don't deal with people's lives directly, but just getting to know the Bible more, you know, trying to get a better understanding of things in the Word. Actually, some of these things probably could end up answering faith fix questions at some point. But I realize the more that I study the Word of God, that God has that. If you could see some of these things, I mean, if you just went after it, you would start seeing it. But you start realizing even more so. I mean, I'm pretty sold out. Wouldn't you say I seem pretty sold out to the Word of God? Amen. But, you know, as I study it more, it's like, my God, he is pretty amazing. I mean, and where you thought he was amazing before, and then you find out something else, and you're like, he's no, like, it's nowhere even near what I thought. He's even more amazing than that. And so that's our God. Our God is such a good God. You know, people think we're goofy out there in the world. They think we're nuts sometimes for believing the way that we do. But we are connecting with a real, tangible God, a God who wants to change and invade our lives and be part of our lives, hallelujah, and have a personal relationship with each and every one of us. And so that's why we talk about purpose. And that's why we talk about God's plan so much, because we want to get to that place where we're more effective in hearing from Him. You know, I preached this idea last night, and it just seems good to bring it up again, that, you know, following God is not hard. Following God's plan for your life is not hard. Being a Christian is not hard in the sense of knowing what to do and stuff like that. The only things we battle are that we battle our flesh and we battle the world. And we battle our flesh because it came out of the world. Amen? And if you don't know what I mean by that, I mean, just think about your natural tendencies, the natural things that you would decide to do. You know, I love thinking back to decisions I made before I was a Christian. I love thinking back to the decisions I made when I first became a Christian. And then after I had been for a few years, I think about those decisions, and then I consider the decisions I make now, and I think, man, how wholly different they are. Amen. And the more light that you have, the better decisions that you will make. And it's so funny, because a lot of times when people come to me, either in counseling or anything like that, or just come to me with questions, you know, the Lord reminds me of me being in that position myself and thinking that way, or you know, couldn't see. Sometimes, you know, people come to you with a situation, and it's really when you have the clarity of God, you can look at something and say, well, it's not hard to figure out at all. And to them, it's like everything in their world, you know, and it can almost seem insulting to say, well, it's not hard to figure out at all. And the reason it's not hard is not because I'm so much smarter than you, but the reason it's not hard is because the Holy Ghost, once we learn how to hear from the Holy Ghost, He makes it easy to know just what to do. And so if a decision is hard, or a way is hard, or we're living in a place that's kind of up against the wall, the best thing that we can do is just seek God and learn how to seek God. But also know, when we seek God, we have to understand, we have to have that knowledge, that faith, that He will answer us. Amen? And that He will come through for us. And that's just a wonderful thing about our God. You know, I've taken flack at different times, and many preachers have taken flack at different times for, you know, building their own kingdoms and stuff like that. And of course, it's just people speaking out of a place that they don't know. But if people truly understood what happened in the house of God, you couldn't fit another person in this building. We'd be building a bigger one instantly. Amen. Because the purposes of God are just so wonderful and just so awesome. Amen. The word lovely just jumped in my spirit. The lovely. The purpose and the plan of God is lovely. Amen. That word lovely. I mean, we don't use that word so often anymore, but isn't that, it's lovely. That's a lovely word, amen. Praise the Lord. But it's lovely. The plan of God is lovely. It's just something to be embraced. It's something beautiful. It's something to be just connect with and run with, amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Glory to God. No one happens upon doing good. They purpose to do it. You know, every once in a while, you know, we have this. I've always loved the saying, "A blind squirrel, even a blind squirrel find a nut once in a while," you know, and that, because in a lot of respects, that was my life pre-Jesus. That every once in a while, I'd find something good. But you know, you don't really just happen on doing good, and that's a continual thing. It's something that we purpose, and we're gonna get in the Word, 2 Corinthians 9:7. You know, the Word of God, of course, sets us free. But the Word of God is like, I think I said this last night too, it's like an onion. There's many layers to it. And, you know, as you start peeling back one layer, you find another layer. But what do you notice about the layers of an onion? You know, if you take an onion on the outside of it and you smell it, you might, you know, especially if it's been in storage or something, it doesn't, or in the supermarket shelf or whatever, it doesn't smell that intense. But man, as you're getting into that onion, what do you find? The intensity, the flavor of it's a lot stronger. That's the same thing with the Word of God. You know, you could start on the surface stuff being, you know, Jesus loves you. He died for this world. He died for your sins. That's surface stuff. Do you know that surface Christianity? Yeah. Praise the Lord. I'm not saying it's not worth anything. I'm not saying it's not good, but it's surface Christianity. The meat and the potatoes, the flavor is in that. It's in the depths of that and understanding what it means that Jesus loved you. See, we can hear Jesus loves us, and we can say Jesus loves us. We have T-shirts. I remember seeing T-shirts that says, Jesus loves me. We sang the song in Sunday school back in the day, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Praise the Lord. Many of you remember that as well. But, you know, even, I remember learning that as a kid, and that was a great foundational thing. It was great for me to know that as a kid that Jesus loved me. But the thing is that that wasn't enough to sustain me through trials. That wasn't enough to sustain me. It was getting in and finding out what that love entails. And, I've even scratched the surface of it. You know, we've only scratched the surface of it. So his depths, the depths of God's love for us are immeasurable. We can't even describe it. Amen? Praise the Lord. But that's a foundational thing, and it's a good thing. But we want to go into to more things. Amen? And so this scripture here in 2 Corinthians 9:7, I'm going to preface it by saying this. This scripture is a financial scripture, although that is not what I am preaching about. And I can do this is because the principle of the scripture is not just for finances. The principle of the scripture is found, we're going to preach many other scriptures today, and you'll see that. But the principle of the scripture can be found in many other things. But this scripture says it well, and it's not out of line to say that. And so I'm not pulling it out of context to make a new doctrine out of it. Amen. You know, when I talk about that, when I talk about pulling a scripture out of context, it's when you pull it out of context to try to form a new doctrine that doesn't exist. But there's nothing wrong with using type and shadows because God is a God of type and shadows. You know what type and shadows are? Type and shadows are when you look at something on the surface and you can kind of see something later on. It's a type of something that's going to come. The Bible is chock full of what we call types and shadows. In other words, in the Old Testament, you can see Jesus even in the Old Testament, even though you don't see his name. Yeah. Amen? You can see the appearance of Jesus. You can see what the role of Christ. You can see all the things that God wanted, all the things in the New Testament. In fact, we're told the New Testament shines light on the Old Testament. In other words, you can't understand the Old Testament fully without understanding the New Testament. Amen? But once you understand the New Testament, it shines light on that, and you shadows. And so the Bible is chock full of those. God is a pretty amazing God. Amen. And so in 2 Corinthians 9:7 here, it says, so let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. Now, what I want to focus on here is this. If you look at your Bible, you might look at that word give and you'll see that that word is italicized. Does anyone see that in their Bible? Praise the Lord. When you see a word italicized in the Bible, that means that that word was not in the original writing. Amen? That word was added to help for the understanding. Now, it wasn't wrongly added. It wasn't like, oh, some sinner threw that in there to throw you off course. But they put that word in there to help kind of draw out a little bit. That's what, like the Amplified, when I read the Amplified version of Scripture, that's what that is too. That's they amplify it. And so this word is to do that. So you could really see, you could read this like this. Let each one as he purposes in his heart. I like that. I like reading it that way because it promotes more than just giving. Because how many know that God is a giving God, but he's more than a giving God? Amen. He's a giving God, but he's more than a giving God. So God gives, but he wants to give. He wants to do more than just give. Amen. Well, how do we know that? Well, you look at a government, for example. You take our government, and in many ways, you know, whether you agree with one side or not, doesn't matter. They're all doing basically the same thing, and they want to be something. Amen? But you notice the one thing they don't really care to be is they don't care to be your real friend. They don't care about being your brother, your sister. They could say things like they want to do good or they want to give, and I believe that some people have the right heart for that, but they also aren't given to you personally. They are also aren't opening their wallet for you personally, amen? So we can see those things. So they're not making it a personal thing. So you can give and it not be personal, amen? You can send money to donate to something and nobody ever knows it's you and there was no personal attachment to it. You know, that's actually why, you know, the supermarkets, a lot of times they'll have people, the cashiers, do you want to donate to this or do you want to donate to that? I will tell you that 99% of the time I don't donate. You know why I don't donate? Because I do give. I am a big giver. I love to give. Giving is one of my favorites. Amen. That's just something my wife and I, we love to do. We love to give. But we purpose to give. And you should purpose to give. Praise the Lord. I'm not preaching about giving, but I'm getting to a point here. Amen. You should purpose to give. And what I mean by that is when you give, you should have purpose behind why you're giving. Not just, oh, here's a dollar, I'll give it there because somebody asked me for it. Because, you know, sometimes those things aren't good things. I've sat there and asked questions before. I've actually done that in the supermarket line. I've been standing there. They're like, do you want to give to that? And I'm like, what is it? Well, yeah, you know, no, it's this, this, and this. And it's like, well, who backs this organization? See, you don't know. Sometimes you could just be giving money out. Amen. You know, I love to give. I love to give to random strangers. I love to give to people, but I don't give to every homeless person that has a sign. Now I do give to homeless people that have signs. Sometimes, I remember one time, a few years ago, I was with my pastor. We were walking around in downtown Toronto, and we were there at night. And there's a lot of homeless people out. And I remember as we were going through, of course, there's a lot of spiritual things happen. Normally in a city, there's a lot of spiritual things going on, and a lot of them aren't good. But as we were walking through, I remember that there was, you know, all kinds of people around asking for money and stuff like that. And I remember distinctly in my spirit, God leading me, don't give to that person. Don't give anything there. Don't give anything there. And then there was another person I remember that it was like, do it. Like I had to do it. Amen. One time we were together and we were driving through another city. And as we were driving through the city, there was these two guys there, again, two homeless guys. And the Lord very specifically directed us both at the same time to turn around. We had to drive out of our way to go back around, you know, one-way streets and stuff to go back and give. So it's good that you purpose to give. Amen. It's good that there's that you're purposing to do something or having purpose in your doing, not just doing because you do it. Amen. And so that's how we should go about life, is purposing life. Amen. So you don't just come upon good. See, not every gift is good. Not every ground that you can sow into is good ground. Now we have my sister Kimberly back here. She likes to do various planting stuff, right? Planting, landscaping, and all that stuff. And she was looking at one of my things once, and I could see the disappointment on her face as she was looking at it. And she was all but begging me, Pastor, will you let me help you here? Praise God, hallelujah. If you notice the signs looking better and stuff like that, it's because Kimberly is taken under her wing. But one of the things that she understands about planting and stuff like that is that you have to prepare the ground right, or the ground has to be prepared right if you want to do the right thing in there, amen? And some things, you know, she was telling me about some things, you know, they'll last or some things won't last depending on the ground and the area that it's in and all that stuff. Well, we should know the same thing as we go through life. Whatever we're doing, when we're doing good, the Bible says to trust God and do good. Yeah. See, those are two very connected and very important things. I didn't even think I was going on all this, but this is good. Trust God and do good. In your doing, you need to trust God. And if your doing is not in trusting God, it's just in doing, your doing is not doing good. Does that make sense? Amen. So if you're not trusting God as you're doing, then your doing is not doing good, regardless of how good you think it is. Amen. And so we need to purpose. We need to be people of purpose. God is a God of purpose. He purposed for you to be who you are and where you are to get all that he has for you. So God is also purposing, praise the Lord, that you would do good. Amen. And so that's what this scripture is really talking about. Even though the scripture is talking about giving, it's talking about purposing in your heart, because God loves what? A cheerful giver. Or another way you could say that is a cheerful doer. God loves a cheerful doer. What is a cheerful doer? A cheerful doer is somebody is doing something and they know that they're doing it for the right reasons. They do know they're doing it good. Praise the Lord. And they can sleep and rest easily while they're doing it. Amen. Praise the Lord. So no one happens upon doing good. They purpose to do it. Amen. Now, remember, I said doing good. Doing is an action. It's a continual action. Doing is not a one-time thing. Oh, I did good. Well, great if you did good, but if one person only did one good thing in their life, we wouldn't think that amounts to very much. Amen? Who do we look at? When we look at people and we hold them in high esteem out there, when we're looking for a politician and you want to vote, what are the things they do? They want to present their track record. And some of them love to present it more than others. Amen. They love to talk about their track record. Actually, every politician I've ever seen, they love to talk about their doing, right? I did this, and I did this, and I did that. Oh, praise the Lord. Glory to God. And so that's typically what we're also looking for in a politician or whatever. Is we're looking for somebody who is who has a good track record, that they didn't just did, but they do. Amen? And so that's what we're looking for, is people that are doing. And the same thing, that's what God is looking for, is Christians that didn't did, but Christians that do. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. Well, if you want a good English lesson, you just come to Family Church Maeve and we'll help you out. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So we want to be a purpose to be good doers. Amen? Praise God. Hallelujah. So, okay, if I say that someone ministered to someone, you would also need the context of that. Now, of course, you guys think of me, I'm a pastor, I'm a minister. You can think of that as ministry. But the word ministering doesn't just mean to stand there and speak in front of people, amen? And that's why you would need the context. If I said somebody ministered to somebody, you would need the context of what I'm talking about. You know, a nurse that's taking care of a patient is ministering to them, amen? It all falls under that context. And I wanted to bring up Ephesians 4:12 here. I just wanted to bring it up here. Don't worry about turning. We can't bring it up here. Glory to God. So just think about it. Amen. Listen to it. Write it down. Look at it later. Make sure I'm not lying. Amen. But remember Ephesians 4:12. Of course, that's talking about what the purposes of the ministry offices are for. But I wanted to highlight this one, kind of zero in on it. They're for the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry. Amen. For the edifying of the body of Christ. And so the purpose, my job is to equip you for the work of the ministry. Now you might think, well, what's the ministry I'm called to, right? And that's a good question. But the ministry that we will be called to always varies. Now the ministry that I am called to primarily is to be a pastor. But that's not the only ministry that I'm called to. I'm called to minister to my family. I'm called to minister to my wife, to my children, to my mother, praise the Lord. I'm called to minister to the community. I'm called to minister. So this is all about purposing, amen? We see that God has a purpose. The word ministry, as it's defined through the Bible, is service, ministering, especially of those who execute the commands of others. Praise the Lord. And I got to thinking about ministry, and in that word, we see, you know, minister is also in that word. But there's an English word that we have, another English word that we have that has that word in it, which is administer, which means to deal out or dispense, apply, give help or a service. Now, that's the Webster's Dictionary version, a definition of that, but I think that stands, amen? So that's what we're all called to, is some sort of ministry, and what we should be doing is purposing to find out or to be part of that ministry or to walk that ministry out. Amen? Praise the Lord. But it goes on to say in Ephesians 4:12 there that it's the work of the ministry for something. And that kind of highlights it even to a greater level for us, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Praise the Lord. Edifying means literally means that which builds up. That's what edifying is. So it means to build up. So it's to build up the body of Christ, to strengthen the body of Christ. And so we are all called to learn how to strengthen, to build up, to increase the body of Christ. Now, that could happen in various ways. There's many, many ways that increasing the body of Christ comes. It comes through our service as we serve one another. You know, I say this, if you sit in these seats every week and you didn't do anything to sit in them, you just walked in the door, you should be thankful for those who minister to you, because there's people who prepared them for you to be here, that prepared. You know, you don't just walk into a church, open the doors, turn the lights on, and have service. It's not that easy. excuse me, there's... You know, there's cleaning ministries, you know, in non-pandemic times, we have nursery ministries and we have the ministry of the, you know, the overhead and the sound department, stuff like that. And the ministry of the sound and the sound and the music, the sound of music, praise the Lord. And that doesn't just come, you know, one day a week. That comes from people who put in time and stuff like that. And so, and then also you have the building itself and the chairs that you sit on. You know, if you don't like the chair that you're sitting on, then you need to blame the people who donated. They didn't donate enough to buy you the nice chairs. Amen. And so what you need to do is you need to start and show them all how you're gonna lead the pack and donate and say, I'm going to buy some real nice chairs. But you are not just buying your real nice chair either. You know, you're just, I'm going to buy me a real nice chair, let everybody see how nice my chair is, and then everyone... Praise the Lord. But you know, some people think that way. They think, well, I got, you know, three people in my family, so I'll buy three chairs. Well, you didn't minister to anyone but yourself. How would we like that if we went to the hospital and the nurse came in and, you know, came in with the cafeteria person came in, you're starving, you're laying there, you can't get up and move, can't do anything yourself. And they come in with the food tray, you know, and they sit down there and they start eating it in front of you. Yeah, right? This is how what a lot of Christians are doing. They're coming in, they're sitting down, and they're eating their food in front of everybody else. Say, well, this is good. I see that you're starving, but this is good for me. Well, I'll feed my family because I love them. Here, you have some too. Yeah, see, praise the Lord. Glory to God. You know, and so we're all called to minister greater, more. Amen. We should leave, you know, we had this saying in Boy Scouts. I think it was in Boy Scouts that we had the saying, because I can't think of anything else that I did where I would have had the saying, amen? But it was like to leave it better than what you found it, amen? We were always taught that, to leave it better than what you found it. And everything else in my life, I never left anything better than how I found it, so I know it must have been Boy Scouts that taught me that. Amen. Praise the Lord. And so when I was in Boy Scouts, leave it better than what you found it. In other words, our goal when we left the campsite was to leave that place like we had never even been there, that nobody could even tell that we had been there. Amen. And so when we had the, you know, we had the fire, we were done with the fire, you know, and you had the coals, just nothing but coals there and stuff. We take all the dry leaves and all the sticks and put them back over it. That's a joke. I'm just seeing if you're awake here today. Praise the Lord. You do that, you have a forest fire. Amen. We didn't do that at all. Glory to God. But you'd cover, you know, you would cover things back up and kind of, you know, it's funny because I do remember that you clear an area. You know, and then when you're leaving it, you're leaving it better than what you found it, but we'd sweep everything back in. So we'd sweep all the debris back into the area, amen, and make it look like we weren't even ever there. But glory to God. But we should have these. That's purpose, amen. And those things actually weren't bad that they were taught to me as a young man, because it puts something in me with an idea that I don't just go, you know, one of the things I can't stand is when people litter. You know what I mean? When you see something, no, it's when, you know, you're driving down the street or something blows out the window, you know, that's, you can't always do something about that. And I always feel bad if something like that happens. But again, even that won't happen very often if you purpose to do something ahead of time. You purpose to make sure that things won't blow out the window. See, purpose is about planning ahead. Purpose is about getting yourself to be like, you know what? I'm going to do right. I'm going to do as I should ahead of time. Praise the Lord. The reason so many people get into to problems is because they never purposed in the first place. They just go at life. They're just like, I'm going to just run out there and do life. Amen? But you can't do life that way and be real effective. If you look at anybody who's successful in life, truly successful, and I'm not talking about somebody who stole or whatever, so we're not going to get into naming names or stuff like that, but if you look at anybody who's truly successful in life, they got there because they purposed to be there. They made a plan, they went after it, and they purposed it. If you want to be successful in life at anything, you have to purpose. So if you want to be successful with God and the things of God, if you want to have a relationship with God, if you want to have the power of God flowing in your church, then you need to purpose to be a Christian who prepares the path and not just for yourself. That you're not just building your seat. That you're, you know what? You know, there's people in here, and praise God, I think that probably a majority, and I just say a majority, and I mean almost everybody, if not everybody, in our church are people that at some part, place in their heart, they really do purpose for better. Amen? I believe that about our congregation. I've even been told by some ministers that this is their favorite family church to minister in. I just like people ask me if they can minister here. Why? It's not just because of me. It's because of you. Because generally, if someone else is ministering here, I'm not. Right? Praise the Lord. So the one thing that I hear over and over and over again is how precious and how sweet and how hungry our people are. Glory to God. So what is that? But my wife and I have purposed from the beginning that we were going to have a church that was just that. Amen. And so that's why we talk about the things that we talk about. We promote the things that we promote. We stand on the things that we stand because those principles are important to us, because those principles are important to God. And so I want to have a church that's effective, not a church that just, oh, we come together and have a church service. Great. No, I don't want to just have a church service. I want to have church service that changes lives. I want to have church services where people leave filled, where they leave with more than what they came with, glory to God, and they take it out there in the world and they'd be world changers. Glory to God. Hallelujah. We're not getting far fast, but praise the Lord, we're getting where we need to be. Amen? So we want to be people who purpose, but we have to remember that the plan of God has got to be purposed. You have to purpose for it. God's already purposed it. He set it all up and said, there you go, walk in it. But you got to walk in it. I said, you got to walk in it. You know, I remember being the person like this, that I would sit there and I'd say, Lord, send me somebody to talk to. Send me somebody to minister to. Send me somebody to help. Praise the Lord. I would say that. But you know what? A lot of times, I'd be sitting there waiting for them, and they're right in front of me. They're right in front of me. They're right there. Like there's opportunity that abounds around us. But see, so often we're so caught up in our thinking, or we're so caught up in our lives or our day, that we forget that there's opportunity right there in front of us. There's people sitting here in these seats, because somebody sitting next to you or somebody in here purposed in life to reach someone else. That you're only here because somebody told you about that. And I'm just telling you, if you're here, you have just, you're starting the path, or if you've been here, you know you've been started on a path where all the answers in your life can be answered, all the questions in your life can be answered. Because that's exactly what God wants to do, amen? And not because I know it, but because God knows it. You know, half the time, I mean, I'm just as clueless as you when I come in here. Yeah, I'm just telling you the truth, amen? I if you ask me how to pastor effectively, I don't know. I just do what I know to do when I know to do it, and I've learned to follow the Holy Spirit the best that I can, and it's effective. But I'm just telling you the truth. I look at things too, and I just shake my head and go, oh, dear Jesus, you might have to take us home on this one, because we can't help here. We can't do it. It's bigger than we are. It's all bigger than we are. Life is bigger than you are. Amen? Praise the Lord. And if you think that human reasoning is going to figure it out, look at how many people fail using human reasoning. And that would just tell you that listen, if you're a betting man, right, and you look at the odds of how many humans do it effectively, I mean really effectively, think about how many people you know that have been real effective at life. Human reasoning, and then you equate it to human reasoning. So you have to remember that your reasoning, apart from the word, is human reasoning, which generally is wholly ineffective or ineffective. Amen? That's it. Hey, I told you, get a good English lesson. You just come to this church. Right? Praise God. Hallelujah. She didn't have to give me the look either. Huh? No. You smiled afterwards, though. Yeah, she was proud of me. Like, we might get something in him yet. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank God for a good wife. Turn with me to Mark 7. We'll be people who purpose. I think I said this once, we preached kind of along these lines before, but I said once, not porpoise, but purpose. I love that. I did say that. I remember. Porpoise. Not people who porpoise. How do you porpoise? I could give you an example. I'd have to take my jacket off for that, and I'm a little cool today, so I'm not going to. Praise the Lord. in my head, I just mixed a sea lion and a dolphin together. So believe me, you didn't want to see that anyways. My wife totally does. Glory to God. You're not helping right now, love. You're supposed to be a help to me. Praise the Lord. Mark 7:14. Glory to God. Hallelujah. You know, all I can think of is whoever invented neckties is somebody who just purposes to be uncomfortable. They purpose to be uncomfortable. praise the Lord. Hallelujah. But they look nice. Mark 7:14. When he, Jesus, had called the multitude to himself, he said to them, "Hear me, everyone, and understand. There is nothing that enters a man from outside which can defile him, but the things which come out of him, those are the things that defile a man. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear." And when he had entered a house away from the crowd, his disciples asked him concerning the parable. And he said to them, Are you thus without understanding also? Do you not perceive that whatever enters a man from outside cannot defile him? You know, defile means to make unclean. Amen? Unsanctified, unholy, that kind of thing. Amen? Praise the Lord. Verse 19, because it does not enter his heart, but his stomach, and is eliminated, thus purifying all foods. So Jesus was talking about foods, and the reason he was talking about foods is because the Jews, they had all these laws, right? All these laws of things that, even, yes, the laws were given by God, but they weren't given for the purpose that the Jews were maintaining them. They were just doing it out of just religious obligation. They were just following these laws and doing these things, and they didn't even know why they were doing it. And so they were just doing all these things, and they thought that if they followed the laws according to about the way to eat, you know, Jews weren't allowed to eat like pigs, allowed to eat bacon. They weren't allowed to eat lobster and shrimp and all that other good stuff. Amen. Those were all those things were forbidden, and there was reasoning for it. Actually, I read this once, and it's true. Like something like I can't remember what percentage it was, so I'm not going to give you a percentage. But a high percentage of the Old Testament law had nothing else to do had only to do with health and healing. Amen. There was things in the law about what to do with dead bodies. There was things that, you know, you don't just bury them in your backyard. You take them outside the city, or, you know, the latrines, they had to be in certain. And we all think this is all obvious to us. But see, in those time, back in those days, all the things were, the different sanitary things and stuff, they didn't know about bacteria. They didn't know about, honestly, we can even say this about our country. You know, for his advance, because a lot of people would say, well, how would you know that, you know, feces is not good to have around and stuff like that. But, well, think about how we live. You know, we just learned to wash our hands. You know what I'm saying? I mean, up until a year ago, people were, I'll say this. You know, you can hate COVID all you want, and I do too. But one thing I don't hate about it is the fact that now I go into bathrooms and more of them are actually usable. Because they're clean. Because what happened in America that where people were so disgusting? Go to a big city. For a big city like New York City, we love to go to New York City. We haven't been there, probably won't go there for a little while, but, you know, New York City, we used to love to go there and go walk around and see all the stuff. But one thing I'm going to tell you about New York City, it always smells like urine. It's filthy and it smells like urine. Now, that's not typically a healthy thing. You know, things don't stink like that because they're good, right? And in New York City is supposed to be one of the most, you know, it's places in America, all this good stuff and all these smart minds coming together, but they can't keep the city clean. You know what I mean? I mean, think about this kind of stuff, but this is how we live. So we can't look at them and think, well, the Jews, they didn't know, because, you know, Americans didn't know either. They don't realize, well, hey, listen, you can't cough in everybody's face. You know, I mean, just seemed like common sense, but so the law was all about health and healing and keeping people, you know, praise God, hallelujah. You know, there's even laws, you've heard the saying, cleanliness is next to godliness. That's not specifically out of the Bible, but the concept of it is, like to clean yourself, you know, like, again, we still have people that realize that, you know, bathing is a good thing. You know what I mean? Well, praise the Lord. And so God taught all these things through the law, but the purpose was not just to command people to do something. We have to understand that God, when he commands us to do things, is not just telling us to do something for the sake of doing it. See, a lot of people, that's why they don't like church, because they have this preconceived idea that they're going to come there and some minister's going to sit there and tell them all the things they're doing wrong, and then they got to go out and change their life, and I can't have fun anymore. Well, I'll just tell you, it isn't fun when you're in an abusive relationship, but you got there because you didn't learn about doing things right ahead of time, right? Because if you could typically avoid all these things and a lot of other things. People, the marriage rate being, people divorcing it, high numbers. Listen, I've gone through it. I've been through a divorce. I understand how terrible it is. But I can also tell you this, that if I had known this word better, I wouldn't have had to go through that divorce. I would have never had to get into that situation. Because if I had done according to the word, I wouldn't have been there. That's the truth. And see, if we do according to the word, we won't get ourselves in most of the situations. Now, if you've been through a divorce or something bad like that, I am not coming down on you and saying it's all your fault and you're just a worthless person and all that stuff. But I am saying a truth that if you learn to follow the word, you will make less of those stupid decisions. Because most of us who have been through, if you've been through a divorce or something like that, you don't look at it and think, well, that was a good decision that I did that. I mean, the marriage, you know what I'm saying? And so the point is that as you follow the Holy Ghost, Holy Ghost doesn't want you. Do you think the Holy Ghost wants you to get married and then get remarried and then get remarried? He doesn't want that. Do you think he wants your life being unstable? You don't like your life being unstable. You think God's looking at your life saying, man, I just wish it'd be a little more unstable. No, he's given us a church. He's given us the word. He's given us, the body of Christ for the edifying, the building up of the body. If you are part of the body, then you need to be built up. You need to be strong. Why? Because a part that's not strong is a part that fails. And a part that fails can cause the whole structure to fail. This building has four walls on the outside, right? Four main walls on the outside. Four structural walls. Amen. And then above us, we have roof trusses that span from wall to wall on the sides. The end walls aren't as important, except the end walls keep these walls from toppling over. Amen? They don't hold any weight. Praise the Lord. I'm talking about structural stuff here that you may or may not understand, but these walls don't hold any weight, but they do keep these walls from going back and forth. Because one of the things that would happen is there's a thing called shearing and stuff like that, that a building would twist. But you see, if those walls, if you took those walls out, or if all of a sudden the front wall got weak, then everything else out here gets floppy. And so even though these things can hold their weight, even though these ones can hold their weight, you start removing the stuff that seems like it's less important, and then all of a sudden the building's in jeopardy. Well, the same thing is with the building. We are told in the word that we are God's building, that we are to be built up. But see, there's a purpose in being built up. You have to determine, I am going to be strong. I am going to do right. You are not going to stumble on doing right. You're not going to stumble on getting it good. See, some people live a lottery mentality that, man, if I just, one in a million shot or one in 10 million shot, if I just throw a dart, maybe I'll hit it. See, life, God did not tend you to throw darts at a dartboard to decide about life. He said, a person typically throwing at a dartboard is aiming, and so there is purpose in that. But I'm saying not blindly throwing it at the wall, amen? You know, and so there's plan, calculations, and stuff like that. And God wants you to purpose in your life to do just that, because you are part of something that's much bigger than you are. You're part of something and if you understand that, then you can start understanding that God actually does want to do good things in your life. Because when you realize that God has you to be part of something bigger for a bigger purpose, then all of a sudden, as insignificant as you think that you are, you just became a lot more important. Because you know something about this front wall? I'm going to point to, I'll just talk about all these walls. Every one of these exterior walls is a cement block. Now, a cement block in of itself is pretty insignificant, right? I have some just laying in the back of my, out back of my pole building. They're just laying there doing nothing. Some of them are crumbling, breaking. I actually got a couple that are just holding up my brush hog right now, doing nothing. I mean, nothing, just insignificant. I could have used a log or anything else, anything I could have found to use that, right? But man, I'll tell you what, those cement blocks in these walls, every single one of them are pretty significant, because you start removing those cement blocks. Well, and it's not even maybe the one up here. But what if you take out one down here? You understand what I mean? When you start this one down here, it's just a cement block. It's no more significant than you think that you are. That's all that it is. But man, when you put it together, when you put them together as in a body, when you build a structure out of them, that insignificant cement block all of a sudden became something worth a lot. Because you know what? If I got a call from one of you saying, I just drove by the a few cement blocks down there on the outside of the wall, I'd do something about it. I wouldn't just be like, don't worry, we got hundreds more. But see, some people look at the body of Christ like that. They say, well, you know, I know God's got plans and purposes, but you know, they'll do it. There's other people out there that'll do it. No, you're called to be part of it. Because the structure isn't going to be the same without you. Amen? And this is why we must purpose. And what do we know? I love using building examples because they make so much sense to me. But a building just doesn't happen. They don't just plop a building there and say, oh, there you go. There's a building. No, there's planning involved. There's somebody who's you know, even if you think, well, an architect designed this building, if they did, probably. But you take an architect that designed the building. They didn't just wake up one morning to design a building. They went to school for years and prepped to be able to do these things. They purposed in the heart to be someone who would design and build. Praise the Lord. And then obviously you don't just hire Joe Schmo off the street and come in and build a building. No, you get somebody who has qualifications. Praise the Lord. Well, God wants to do the same thing in us. He wants us to be built up and qualified. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. But we're talking about, it's not, I forget what scripture I left off on. Ended on 19. Praise the Lord. Verse 20. And he said, what comes out of a man, that defiles a man. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lewdness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile a man. Praise the Lord. So when it's talking about what comes from within a man defiles a man, but from what comes from within a man also can clean him. Praise the Lord. And so, you know, we understand that these things come out of a person by what's put in the sense that, you know, you open your eyes and your ears to things. You know, if you listen to raunchy music all the time, you're going to start thinking raunchy thoughts. If you focus on worldly things, then you're going to think worldly thoughts. That's just the way that it is. Wherever your focus is, now a little bit isn't going to hurt you. Basic things, you know what I mean? Like if you go to a play or something that isn't a Christian play, you're not going to hell. You're not all of a sudden not going to be able to do it. You know, if you like to go shopping, you know, that doesn't mean that you're focused on. But if you're shopping nonstop, well, that can be a problem, can it? Yeah. Yeah. Amen. Praise the Lord. If all you're doing is worldly entertainment, then of course it's going to affect you. You know, and so we have to understand that what comes out of man is what defiles him, but it's also what comes out of a man that makes him clean. And so that's why God put the Holy Spirit on the inside of us, because he wants what comes out to be clean, but we have to feed that. We have to feed that connection, amen? We have to purpose in our hearts, glory to God. Praise the Lord. John 14, 23, I just want to bring this up. Well, I can't bring it up, but you can turn there later, write it down. Jesus answered and said to him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. Yeah, John 14, 23. Jesus answered and said to him, if anyone loves me, right? You say you love Jesus. If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him. And we will come to him and make our home with him. Now, when it says make our home with him, it doesn't mean that Jesus is just going to set up camp. But it means it's home life. We're going to make a life, a home life together. You understand? That's what it means. You know, any house can be a home, right? If the right nurturing has been put into it. And that's what Jesus is talking about. Amen? Have you ever walked into somebody's house and you're like, oh, there's no peace here. Oh, I don't want it. You know, the other hand, we work very diligently to make sure that we maintain peace in our home. How do we do that? Well, we keep the things or we work hard at keeping things that cause a lack of peace out. Doesn't mean that we always do. Doesn't mean that my wife and I are always, you know, always seeing eye to eye on things and that we don't ever have disagreements and stuff like that. Or even do things that are wrong. But what I'm saying is that we, you know, our focus is to try to keep those things straight. And so we are diligent. We purpose to not have a home that's like that. Amen? That's opposite that. And when you purpose to do so, sometimes it involves doing things that aren't easy and aren't popular. Sometimes you have to make decisions in your home that people don't like. But this is how it is in my home. And see, we can open ourselves up, and of course, that's the door. We can open that up to our whole life, but we can open ourselves up to an attack from the devil because we don't clean our own house. And I'm not talking about sweeping, but, you know, keeping your house clean. Because it's from, it's, you know, what's there, what, you know, everything. You know, what's interesting about demonic, you know, we hear about even if you don't know anything about demons, you probably heard about possession at some point. But the very idea of the word possession is what? That something comes in and takes over, right? That it sets up camp and it takes over. That's essentially what demonic possession is. If you didn't know, I'll just tell you that what a demon seeks, and of course the Bible tells us this, but what a demon or a devil seeks is it's seeking a host or a place where it can set up camp because it has none of its own. And so it wants to set up and do its thing somewhere else. And so what it does is come knocking on your door. Amen? And so this is what happens so often with things that we allow into our lives, when we don't purpose to keep our house clean, we're opening the doorways for these things to come in. And conversely, we can do it for good things too. And so that's exactly what Jesus is saying here. So I'm not just pointing to this verse to say, you're all defiled or don't be defiled. But no, not to not be defiled, but let's be clean. Let's choose to clean up after ourselves. Let's choose to be, praise the Lord. I came in from, I had done some work, you know, I do some side jobs and stuff like that to earn a few bucks or whatever. And my wife, I come home from doing one of these and I'll be like really sweaty and dirty. And my wife hates dirt. If you don't know, she hates dirt and nastiness and smells and all that stuff, bad smells and stuff like that. Praise the Lord. And I come in and she's like, "You're not going to bed like that." I'm like, "Oh, I know. I'm planning on taking a shower." But she's letting me know, like, you know, you're not bringing that into my bed. Amen. You're not bringing that in there. You know, it's bad enough that you're in there with your stuff anyways. You know, I'm a guy. I mean, praise the Lord. Praise God, hallelujah. But you're not bringing all that extra in with you. Amen. You got to clean yourself. You know, yeah, absolutely. That's the point. Amen. So we got a purpose to be clean. And sometimes, you know, at that point, you're like, you know, it's late at night. You just got home. You've been working. You don't feel like it. You're like, I just want to go to bed and shower in the morning or something like that. No, you can't. Well, praise the Lord. I'm not giving you lessons on cleaning yourself, but you understand what I'm using the metaphor. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. So if you want a house where you know Jesus is going to be, don't you want that? I mean, if somebody told you, I mean, as a matter of fact, if I came here and said, all right, so the Lord stopped by my house this morning and he said to me, this afternoon, I'm coming to visit every person in your church. I guarantee you the service would end early. Because you all be going home and you'd be making sure that everything was in order. If you knew Jesus was coming into your house, right? Because let's face it, we don't always leave our houses the way. Even if you left your house good, even if your house was clean, you would still be going to double check, right? Because somebody, at least I hope you would, if you had enough respect, praise the Lord. That's what God wants to do in us. He wants to set up that home, that place, that dwelling inside of us. He wants us, because you know why? Because God wants us to be able to take everything. You know, Jesus said, everything that the Father has is mine. That's what he said, right? And then he says, I want to come set up camp in you. So everything that the Father has is mine. I want to set up and camp with you. And why do you suppose that he did that? You know, in times past, God would visit people in the temple, in the back room, in the Holy of Holies. You had to go to Jerusalem, or you had to go onto this mountain to worship God. Remember, Jesus said that your people worship God on this mountain, but the time is coming, and now is, when those who worship him will worship him in spirit and in truth. Praise the Lord. God wanted to come on the inside of us and bring all that he had, everything that he has to offer. Glory to God. You know, let's face it. If you're looking for a spouse, one of the things you're looking for is what they have to offer. I mean, you want to marry somebody you love, obviously. But you also look at what the other one has to offer. Amen? Praise the Lord. Have you ever been in a situation where maybe you're married or something and you look at a situation that's going on, you're like, I didn't sign up for this. Praise the Lord. We've been there. I mean, especially you wives. Glory to God. Hallelujah. But God wants, you know, God's desiring to sign up and to be part of our lives and to bring everything that he has into our life. Glory to God. That wherever we would go, we take him with us. That we essentially go around building up God, the kingdom of God, and tearing down the kingdom of the devil everywhere we go. This is how God wants us to live. This is the fullness of God, that he desires to be on the inside of us. Praise the Lord. But we have to purpose in our hearts to have a place that is suitable for the Holy Ghost, a place that's suitable for God to reside. You know what I mean? And it's not even that you have to, you know, here's the awesome thing. God doesn't look at you and say, you have to decorate with gold and silver and all these things. He's saying, just clean it up. Just get it prepared. You know, I remember one of the wonderful things about my mother. My mom taught me from early on in life. Because when my mom, I mean, when I was young, my mom was as poor as you can get in this country anyways. Had nothing, right? But one of the things that my mom always taught me is that there is never an excuse for being unclean. She said, you can always make sure to be clean. My mom, if there's anything you'd say about my mom, is the woman is diligent at getting things, like, you know, better, making things better, diligent at it. She spent her life doing so. Amen? Praise the Lord. And sometimes to the point where it pampered and spoiled us a little too much. Amen, you know, because, you know, she'd come in and clean up after you and stuff like that. But, well, praise the Lord, I don't know why I was going with that. Where was I going with it? Keeping it clean for God. The idea that, I know what I was saying. Because, sometimes we think, well, I don't have much to offer. Yes, you do. You have you. Because that's all God wants. That's all God's after. You say, wait a minute. But you don't understand, Pastor. Because I got this baggage, and I got this baggage, and I got this, and I got that. Yeah, God knows all that. He still wanted you. In fact, he didn't pick you when you were all cleaned up. He picked you when you were a slobbering mess. He picked you when you were nothing. He picked you when you were worthless. That's when he said, that's what I want. That's where I want to go. But he said, now you got a purpose to connect with me. Praise the Lord. And then he'll send in the cleanup crew. See, that's the awesome thing about God. You even got to clean it all up. You just got a purpose in your heart to allow God in to come in and clean it up. Amen? Praise the Lord. So we're going to, I'm going to end the message there because I got about at least twice as much as I could go, but that's where we're going to end it. But I think that's a good place for us to stop and for us to leave here built up in this idea that God wants to make his home in us. We need to purpose to be a place, a vessel that's suitable for God to use. Amen? And all that is, simply this, saying in your heart, God, saying yes to God in your heart. Just be willing to say yes to God in your heart. And as that plan unfolds and as you step into it, you're going to see the power and the glory of the Lord.